Tom, we have a couple of things to talk about today. Number one, new polls released. Number two, advanced polling. But can I get a quick take on what you think, because it was our question just after 4 o'clock today, on the Quebec Solidaire candidate, who, of course, ended up helping herself to a flyer from an opposing candidate and has been forced to basically walk the plank because of it. What's your take on this?
I think it was appropriate that she was forced to walk the plank on it, but it would have been better for Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois if he had been clear in what he was doing, but because it dragged on, it became a bit of a soap opera. Compare that with today, when Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon was faced with a candidate up in St. Rose, Chris Keith's area, and the person had written some very, very problematic things about a religion, going back 10 or so years ago, mostly. Several things, though, that had been written over a several-year period. And he said, look, I've had a chat, and I've told her that if that's her point of view, she can leave as a candidate because I won't tolerate it, or she can say that her thinking is no longer that. And the candidate came out and said she, you know, she doesn't stand by what she had written in the past. And I think that when it's done that definitively and quickly, it shows a lot more leadership. I just, by pure chance, because I'm leaving French TV now, I had a chit-chat with Saint-Pierre Plamondon, who clearly is in a good mood because he's really the, you know, one of the few party leaders whose party has really been going up and up and up. If you take it as a percentage of where he was at the beginning, he's been doing quite well because almost everything that the CAC has been losing since the beginning of the campaign has been moving over to the PQ. So clearly doing well. Good, bright young team. And I'll also add, because it's important to note these things, because I've been through many campaigns, you know, the other leaders, other than the two principal ones, often have a very small retinue, very little security. I have to tell you, I've never seen security like this before, both from the services that exist within the National Assembly that are following them around. So that's part of Public Security Department. But then you come out and you've got about a dozen police cars for every single leader. So they're absolutely worried and obviously taking this super seriously.
You know, I'll tell you that a couple of weeks ago, we had Colin Standish on the Corner Booth podcast. He showed up. There was nobody there, just him. I think Ballarat is the same way. They don't get any security, do they? If they're not one of the main five party leaders.
Well, no, they're exactly. They've never been elected, and they're not, and they have no members, and they have therefore no party status. Okay. You know.
One last question before we just go on here. I understand what you said. You think this was the right decision. I'm not going to belabor the point, Tom, but I will simply say, and I think we can both agree, these sorts of things have probably happened a million times before. Would a fine not have been okay or not enough?
Well, there was an almost identical case of a Liberal candidate in Edmonton at the last federal election a year ago, and Trudeau allowed the person to stand. It might have even been too late then. Almost identical case. Just, you know, there was a camera caught him removing some documents for the other candidate. But what was interesting in that person's case, they got elected, by the way, for the Liberals in Edmonton. But that person was, because from memory, he was a city councillor. And so he had a bit of a background, a bit of a profile. And Trudeau desperately needed to have people in cabinet from Alberta and could not touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. So there's always, you know, it's the butterfly effect. There's always another effect that it produces. For example, this person, this candidate of Quebec Solidaire, who was caught pilfering the document from the mailbox, you know, she's a member of the bar, and if that's the case, and I understand she is a lawyer, if that's the case, well, then what you call the Bureau du Saint-Jacques, so the overseeing officer's office within the Bar Association that looks at these disciplinary matters is gonna be poking into that as well. Really? So there's tons of effects. Okay. The party loses its financing for every vote that was already in the box. They would have been getting financing for that. So the list is really long of the effects of that sort of problem.
I have to say what troubles me the most about all of this is that the people who showed the initiative and got out and voted early now don't get their votes to count in that riding. That's it.
Well,
that's
interesting. I was just talking with Catherine, my wife, about that this afternoon. She asked me, she says, what happens to the people who have already voted in the advance polls? I said, their votes get thrown out. They get struck. They don't count for anything. She goes, well, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
But how can you do it otherwise? You know, how do you get them back? How do you remove? It's really quite complicated. So there's, I guess, no other possible way to do it. But it is something that's quite surprising.
All right. Let's move on from that and talk about advance polling. We were talking about this before. Record level
also
turnout.
Surprising.
Yes, and it is very interesting. But I have a feeling, you know, everybody who's been in politics for a long time has similar analysis. We will agree basically with the thesis of Eric Duhem that it is a sign of a desire for change. And I'll concede that point to Duhem up in Quebec City. But I also think that it's a sign of how determined his base is, because they were willing to line up, they were willing to vote. And as Elias Makos pointed out earlier today, they had come up with, of course, a new conspiracy theory involving the pencils, because don't you know, Francois Legault wants to erase your vote. And so there was this whole thing taking place online where conservative conspiracy theorists were sharing with each other, they're trying to give you a pencil. That's so that they can erase it, which clearly showed a couple of things. One is that they'd never voted before because it's always been with pencils. And two, they were telling people to go and use a pen. But as the Director General of Elections will say, no, if you're using a pen, we'll cancel your vote because it could be a way of identifying. So that's why everybody's given this very neutral pencil with no eraser on it to vote. But it's just the Looney Tunes side of the campaign. By the way, GM, as soon as he got wind of this, was telling his people, no, just use the pencil, please. Don't buy into this latest conspiracy theory. But when you tell them to believe every other conspiracy theory, it's sometimes hard to parse that out.
I guess the consensus, like you said, is that people are compelled to get out and vote because they want changed. But is that your gut feeling here, Tom? Is that your feeling?
In Quebec City, I think in Quebec City, in the Liberal Party, we used to talk about les discrets, the discreet Liberals, because the Liberals weren't very popular. It wasn't a cool place to put your vote, but a lot of people wound up voting Liberal. And we used to call that les discrets, and then we would use the funny expression in French, we called it, la prime à l'urne. So there was the ballot box bonus. Sometimes you'd open up the ballot box, and the Liberals were supposed to be here, and all of a sudden they're 3 or 4 points higher than any poll had put them. It's because there were more people willing to vote, but it wasn't the best thing to tell a pollster. Mm-hmm. I think there might be a little bit of that going on for GM in Quebec City. We've talked any number of times about his riding of Chauveau. There are a couple of ones close to Quebec City. They're very, very blue conservative, the Beauces, that's where Maxime Bernier hails from. But does he have a chance in the Beauces, or is that just a pipe dream? Are there any other seats in Quebec City that could go his way? Are we looking at this type of situation with these discreet conservative voters who are saying, we're really in favor of change and we actually voted for this guy? We'll see. I think he's pretty safe. I think he's in. He was hammering away at Legault again on this so-called third link, this new bridge or tunnel between Quebec City and Lévis, scoring heavily. But I think he went too far. He used the word liar in describing the Premier of Quebec. And, even if people are on the fence and looking at this guy saying, he's giving arguments that I agree with, using that term might turn a lot of people off.
All right. So here you have Francois Legault today, quoted a couple of times. Number one, this kind of came out of the blue, is saying he is prepared now to work with the opposition, Tom, for the first time apparently since he's been in power. And number two, when asked about separation and sovereignty, he says, it's viable but not a priority, which is the same answer he has, been giving since the get-go, which is why I'm pretty sure in the back of my mind that if the opportunity presented itself, he'd be very happy to bring that up as a referendum question.
I have no doubt in my mind that if there was a referendum on sovereignty, that François Legault would vote yes. And that, for me, has always been clear. But he says since the beginning of the foundation of his party, which, the Coalition Avenir Québec, Coalition for the Future of Quebec, he says, no. He says, I put all that stuff aside, and I'll let the PQ and Quebec Solidaire, the two separatist parties in this election, I'll let them fight over the separatist vote. But at the same time, he tries to keep as much of it as he can with people like Bernard Drainville and Caroline Saint-Hilaire, who are dyed-in-the-wool, unrepentant separatists. But he tries to put them in the shop window and say, you can stay with me. But it also shows to me, Aaron and Natasha, that since the beginning, he's done really deep polling. He's got great information from focus groups. He knew he had a soft shoulder, on his belt curve with regard to the sovereignists who came over to him last time to help defeat the Liberals but weren't really convinced about him or his party. Now that they've got a young leader who seems to be, really playing the Pied Piper's song, bringing a lot of sovereignists back to the fold, I think that Legault is quite worried about some of the people that he brought in, and because he's really bleeding off. That's quite a bit of support that he's lost since the beginning of the campaign. By the way, I still think he's very safe for his majority because of the almost mathematically perfect split amongst the four other parties.
Exactly. So I was asking about your gut feeling earlier. Given that dead heat amongst the four parties, who do you think is going to be the opposition?
I think that the Liberals are going to get more seats than Quebec Solidaire, who will probably come in second in terms of number of seats. But it may be, it may come to pass that Quebec Solidaire could wind up with more votes because they're better spread out across the province. Because the numbers for the Liberals amongst you know, the voters in many regions is in the single digits, you know, like 7, 9%, 10% in Quebec City, that sort of thing. So, I mean, that's votes. And I think that Quebec Solidaire might be just a titch higher than in terms of votes. But the Liberals' vote is very, to use, this is a word of that organizers use, it's very efficient vote. It's concentrated well. When they, when you're in the sectors where they're the strongest, they win the seat. Whereas Quebec Solidaire will be spread out in a bunch of places where they won't win any seats. Even seats that they have, they have, they hold Rouyn-Noranda right now. And that is the place with the infamous refinery, the Horn Foundry. And it hasn't hurt them up there. The CAC is probably going to win. And you know who they're running? One of my former Liberal MNA colleagues, a guy named Daniel Bernal, who's decided to come back to politics, but this time he's running with Legault and the CAC. And I think that he's got a really serious chance of winning it because he was a darn good MNA.
Let me ask you one last thing before we let you go. You mentioned about the Parti Québécois and the fact that Paul St-Pierre Plamondon has clearly done the best here. I think he's up 4 or 5 points, you know, from survey to survey.
That's on a base of 9 points,
but
right?
No, understood. I mean,
proportionally,
understood.
It's quite something.
Yes,
yeah.
But my question is because when we had Christian Bork on earlier in the show, he alluded to the fact that this is really a sign perhaps for Quebecers looking and saying, you know, I kind of missed the Parti Québécois. Maybe I'll park my vote there. And I said, is this more about Paul St-Pierre Plamondon personally or more about the party? Because it seems to me that he is gaining in popularity personally and has nothing to do with the party.
Well, he's extremely personable, and he's very well expressed in both languages. His English is fluent. He did his law at McGill, and he's a very likable guy, even if you don't like his politics. And he has been able to talk to Quebecers. He is very strong amongst older sovereignists, whereas Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois is super strong with younger sovereignists. So he's got an advantage, PSPP does, because the older people come out to vote more. Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois has been banging that drum for 3 days now. Get out and vote, get out and vote, get out and vote. He has to bang that drum because he's very worried, understandably, that his 18 to 39-year-old supporters are not going to come out and vote because historically they don't vote as nearly as much as 55 and over. Mm-hmm. By the way, the Liberals across Quebec are at about 20% amongst all voters, Anglo, Franco, Allo, all voters. They're very, very strong in the 55 and over category, the category that votes the most. Now, what was interesting, let's go right back to the beginning of our conversation and the advanced polls. What's interesting is in the areas where the Liberals are the strongest, the advanced polls have been the weakest. Now, does that signal that some Liberals are just saying, oh, I can't be bothered? That would be disappointing. And I know there were some people beating that drum for the English-speaking community right at the beginning of the campaign. Ah, don't bother. It's a big mess. You know, don't give them your support. But I mean, that's like lemmings. You know, that's really... that's odd behavior if you don't like the other options. Because right now, if you're looking at it, you've got this rather wonky right-wing party out of Quebec City calling itself the Conservatives with some odd ideas. You've got two real sovereignists and one unavowed sovereignist who says he's an ex-sovereignist. So it's really a Hobson's choice for a lot of people in the English-speaking community right now. But not voting, I don't think that should be anybody's choice.
Tom Mulcair, back tomorrow morning at 7:40 with Andrew Carter. Thank you, Tom.
Take good care.